As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I venture to direct you to our reading from Isaiah chapter 40, and reading especially verse 31. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 40, reading especially verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is one of the most wonderful chapters in the whole Book of God, because it speaks of the omnipotence of God, of his almighty power, of his creation of all things, and of his maintaining of all things. Therefore, the prophet seeks to highlight these truths before the Church of God in his day, and for the Church of God throughout all time. And what a wonderful thing it is to realize the complete knowledge of the Lord. For instance, he says in verse 27, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" It speaks, therefore, of the complete knowledge of the Lord, especially concerning his people to whom these truths are written. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" As you remember that in the 43rd chapter, we have the same words spoken to Jacob, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And nothing could be clearer than that. And yet, so often, we need this word. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" The inference is that the Lord knoweth, as Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." But just to notice briefly, friends, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" Remembering that Jacob's name was changed at the time when Esau came to meet him with 400 men and threatened to kill him. And Jacob was full of many fears at that time. And so it could well have been said to Jacob, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and then, and speakest, O Israel?" That when Jacob's, that time of Jacob's trouble had come at that time, the Lord knew exactly where Jacob was. And I believe this is a comfort that this prophet brings before the Church of God as he commences this chapter with, "Comfort ye, and comfort ye my people, saith your God." But just to go back for a moment to the time when Jacob's need was so great. At that time when Esau came to meet him and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, "Thou shalt be called Israel. Yes, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." You see, dear friends, it was a time when the angel wrestled with him, the uncreated angel wrestled with him, and he was in great need. He was in great trouble. There may be some here this morning, I don't know, who feel to be in great trouble, or at least it is a time of trouble, many troubles, and you greatly need to be reminded that the Lord is aware of your need. He is aware of your need. But we doubt this. And this is where the trial of faith comes in. I fear we live in a day, I'm not thinking of anybody particularly, but I do fear, friends, that we live in a day when there is much lightness in religion that they do not feel to have that great need. They do not need this precious word. But maybe there are those here this morning who greatly need to be reminded, and we need to be reminded continually that the Lord knows the way that we take. "He knoweth the way that I take," said Job, "and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." We need to be reminded that better was the end of a thing than the beginning thereof with Job, that the Lord gave to Job twice as much as he had before, and he turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Job knew the trial of faith. Jacob knew the trial of faith, but it was that time when he received the blessing. And you know, dear friend, that this is the time when sinners realize the blessing. And we are reminded of Abraham when we look at this chapter. We find, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, you have created these things that bringeth them out by number." And Abraham was told to look up to the star, to look up, lift up your eyes on high, to look up to this great God. Oh, the trial of faith, friends. But what a mercy if we are favoured with to be the subjects of the trial of faith, because it is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. There are so many things that are perishing. Even today, the economies are so unstable. And it shows us, you know, even in the economy, that the instability of these things, we cannot count upon these things. We can only, as help, look to the Lord here, where he says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, you have created these things." But Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And it's a great mercy, dear friends, if we can find the connection in this chapter with what we have already mentioned in the 43rd chapter. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And thou walkest through the fire, and thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He's speaking, friends, to his people. But they that wait upon the Lord, who are they? To whom he's speaking? God's people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Their mind has been just recently, really, last hour perhaps, or half hour, I can't remember, their mind has been drawn to Psalm 66. I might have read it, but we're reading. I just want to turn to Psalm 66 and find there the Lord is speaking to his people. And he says this, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You see the connection in this psalm, between what we read in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, the first two verses. We went through fire and through water, but they brought us out into a wealthy place. But you see, dear friend, just to continue here, it doesn't stop there. He says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken. When I was in trouble, I will offer unto thee sacrifices of fatlings, for the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goat cedar. Now, listen to this. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. It's the same people, really, that the prophet is speaking to in this 40th chapter. But there is a reason for it. It's not just that they are in trouble, not just that they pass through fire and water, but that they are to speak of these things. And we live in a day, don't we, when there's great silence. Do not hear much, do we, from people's lips. Very few testimonies are given to die. The reason is, I fear, there's not that walking out, friends, of the truth. I hadn't thought to say this. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. What is holding you back, my friend? What is stopping you? Unbelief, fear, many other things held in by Satan. But you see, these are the Lord's people that the Lord, that the prophet is speaking to. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. If you are the people of God, why is there not that declaring of the truth? Well, we have to leave that with the dear Lord. But my friends, we need to understand, we need to be brought to this. Why are we passing through these waters? Is there a need be that you are passing through these waters? Is it chastisement? Is it the Lord's kind correction? Is it that we need to be reminded that we are to declare as help these things? I fear these are solemn things that need to be mentioned, dear friends, in our day. We're not to be critical in any way. No, but oh, the Lord is speaking here to his people. Hast thou not now? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? You see, the prophet brings before the people here this great God and all his wondrous work, his creation. This is the God who we seek to worship, friends. The God of heaven and earth. And he knows, as we read this wonderful chapter, he knows the path. Excuse me. He knows the path of his dear people. This is the great trial. He knows. And we just mention here the condition of these people. They are faint. They have no might. And even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Even those who are young. Maybe those here who are young and still feel this weariness. And so on. But then we have this connecting word, but. Oh, the little words of Scripture, friends, are so important. But. Or yet, it could be said, like a connecting word. It is a connecting word, but. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So what is it to wait upon the Lord? Friends, I believe it is, first of all, to wait upon the Lord in prayer. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But why is it you wait upon the Lord? Is it not because you feel your need that you wait upon the Lord? You call upon him in the day of trouble? Now, they shall renew their strength. It infers that they knew that strength before. Now, they need that strength to be renewed. And I do believe this, dear friends, that it all comes, and I'm speaking here to those who fear God, it all comes through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where that renewing comes. Next weekend is what is known as Easter. And how many celebrate Easter, but do they know what it means? First of all, we need to be reminded, we need to be brought by the Spirit to sufferings of the dear Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's something very sweet and something very attractive to the child of God to Gethsemane. Now drawn to Gethsemane. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Now, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Think of him then, as he comes to Gethsemane. And how he was so burdened and needed that strength. And the angel of the Lord strengthened him. I believe it is so, if I can find it, dear friends, and we do need to be brought there by the blessed Holy Spirit, to be brought a little to that which the dear Lord Jesus suffered in some little measure when he came into the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm looking now at the 22nd chapter of Luke. And we find, do we not, that the Lord Jesus came into that path. He walked that path of weakness. He knew that need of that strength to be given to him. And I said I was looking at Luke. I'm looking now at Matthew's Gospel. I just want to mention these things, friends. He takes these three disciples to the garden, or to the precincts of the garden, and he says, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." You see, he was brought to prayer. Now, my friend, this, what you maybe have to pass through or experience, it brings you to pray, doesn't it? So, the wonders of fellowship with Christ in his suffering. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." But there appeared an angel of heaven strengthening him. Here we have the sacred humanity of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, are not these things meant for a purpose? Are they not to bring the child of God to the Lord Jesus? It's one thing to make a profession in the Lord's name, friends. It's one thing to be baptized and make a profession to sit at the table. It's another thing, friends, to walk it out. Well, what a mercy we have these wonderful truths. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, the thing is, dear friends, in this word, God is speaking to his church. He's reminding them. But I do believe it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we need to have our minds and thoughts centered upon. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. For your life is hid with Christ in God. My friends, this is it. It's the daily manner, isn't it? It's the experience, it's walking it out. And the good hymn writer says, "Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb." You see, this will bring you to the Lord Jesus, or it should do. It's only by the blessed Spirit, my friend. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will they recover me and make me to live. dear friends, do we walk out? A little in our part. Not just coming to chapel, that's good. And if you've got hunger and thirst, you will come and hear the word of God. Because you are in need. But he's walking it out. And we do need to be reminded also at this stage, and I just say this, dear friend, as a passing remark, that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our life. Well, yet we find such words of comfort in this wonderful chapter. He says, he is directed by the Spirit of the Lord to comfort the Lord's people. Now, are we one of them? Do you need that comfort? Do you need that comfort that we have here this morning hour? Tell them that the Lord reigneth. Speak comfort to their heart. That the Lord knoweth the way that you take. And he will strengthen you, he will help you. We have this as the word of God, friends, from the mouth of Almighty God through the prophet. We've been trying to speak recently from that word, that the word of God came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. This, dear friends, we try and declare in our little way, is the word of God. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That your iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all his. And this is the central message of the truth here. Your iniquity is pardoned, and you receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God has forgiven you. You know something of the hymn you sung. Well, do you know anything of the hymn you sung? The ransom of the Lord shall unto Zion come. He has ransomed them from the power of the grave. We have that beautiful word in, I think it is, in one of the prophets, Hosea, I think it is. Maybe just turn to it as it comes to our minds. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. They're ransomed people. That's the hymn you were singing, I think, wasn't it? You ransomed the Lord. The unto Zion come. So the Lord then is speaking here through the prophet to his church. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And that's faith, isn't it? Mounting up with wings as an eagle. We have reference to the eagle. As you know, the eagle is probably one of the most, if not one of the most powerful birds. There's a few to be found, I think, in Scotland. What a powerful bird it is. What a strong bird. How it soars up to the heavens. And we're reminded, I hope, by the Spirit of what we read about eagles in the Word of God. I might turn just for a moment, friends, to the word that we find in the book of Deuteronomy concerning Jacob again, I think. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, clutcheth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. For the Lord's portion is his people. He's speaking to his people, you say. He's speaking about the work of God over in a sinner. He finds him in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness. And he leads him about, he instructs him, he keeps him as the apple of his eye is ever upon them, he's teaching them. And he's stirring them up, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. See, God was with him, God was working. Oh, there is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. God is with his people. So we have that word, fear not, worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. Lay that weight upon the Lord. In prayer. Are you waiting upon the Lord? What was it this morning? Did you wait upon the Lord in the night watch? This is the word to those who have spoken to praying people. Shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's faith, isn't it, really? It's faith that mounts up, friends, as eagles. All the strength of faith. Now they shall run and not be weary. They shall run in the ways of God. Are you weary in the ways of God? We have that word, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Do you get weary? Do you find it irksome sometimes? Oh, that's the flesh, friends. That's the fallen nature. We find it weary, don't we? And irksome. But faith is renewed. Why is faith renewed? Because strength is given. I say, he's speaking here to his people. We might make reference also to what we read in verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, how we find in this wonderful chapter the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also then the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What is this speaking of? It's speaking of John Baptist, really. And it all brings to this point that the Lord is coming. There's something here that is set before the church. Not only the coming of the Lord Jesus, about the coming of him that cried in the wilderness. It all sets before us the coming of the Lord. And friends, it's not something just is past. It's something that is present and future. Why is this? How can we sum it up in the Word of God? Well, just like this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's incomprehensible to the natural mind, isn't it? But to the child of God, as faith is given by the eagle that soars up to heaven, brings you to the blessed truth. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever. What a God. What a support. What a strength. But it's spoken to a people. A weak people. A fearful people. A tried people. No wonder the prophet says in verse 9, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. This is the good tidings. Not much good tidings today, friends, is there? Here's the good tidings of the gospel. Here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It's incomprehensible to our natural mind. But faith believe it. And faith soars up. It's God-given faith. It's that precious gift that God gives to his dear people. He gives them faith. He gives them the strength of faith to rise above all these things. Well, what a mercy, dear friends, if we're favoured so to be lifted up above these things and your weakness, your helplessness, your poverty. Well, I close then in reading the verse again, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen.